This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by GoEngineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit the UAVDigest.com/GoEngineer. You're listening to episode 215 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max, how's your week been?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty busy. But that's good. Keeps me out of trouble, I guess. We've got some more interviews from the big drone show lined up. This'll complete what you recorded at the show, isn't that right?
Yes. We've got five more interviews, and I think it'll be an interesting slice of the drone industry. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, and maybe some surprises that you wouldn't really associate with things that grow out of drones, like building backpacks to hold flight control units and those kind of things that develop because there's a need and people are, you know, always quick to jump on things like that. But we always talk about hardware and software, but this, we might be talking a little bit more about the peripherals and some other things. So let's start with the first one, Max.
We've got Brian Saunders. He's president of Tablet X Gear. They're a maker of computer chest packs, mostly for forestry and other applications, I guess. But now they've got, what, David, chest packs for drone pilots?
Yeah, basically what this is a mount. We'll have pictures in the show notes that it's a vest that supports the iPad or whatever the drone controller is you're using. They get pretty heavy if you're using, if you're flying first person view, and you've got a remote control with a iPad that's attached to it or a tablet, and you're going to do fly for a long period of time, those get heavy. And this is a way of eliminating the stress. And the added advantage of this is they come in multiple colors. So you're, if you like the vibrant yellow.
You're always fashionable, huh?
Well, not only that, but you're able to be seen.
Oh, that's
which
a, okay.
Which is always a good thing, sure. You know. For so, yes. Of course, you want to dress up when you fly your drone, but you also want to be seen. So, why don't we take it away? I'm with Brian Saunders. Brian makes chest packs. Tell me a little bit about the history and how you got involved with it, and what it is you're creating.
Okay, so I'm actually a forester by profession. And 5 years ago, I was doing some consulting work, and I had to use an iPad, 10-inch iPad, to do recording the information. And I was fed up with carrying it around in a vest. So I looked for something better, couldn't find it, so I made a chest pack for myself to use. And loaned it to a friend of mine to use as, in forestry, and he used it for about 3 weeks, and he wouldn't give it back to me. So I started thinking that maybe other people would like a better way to carry around a tablet computer, and I found that that was the case. There's a lot of people out there looking for a better way to carry it that keeps the tablet safe and looks after ergonomic issues that you have with holding in your hand for extended periods of time. So we've been doing that for about 3.5 years. And last year, we started getting sales to people piloting drones, and, which was a surprise because we did no marketing in that area. And it seems that there is a need for it.
It's funny that this industry will reach out to places that you wouldn't expect it to be. You know, the drone industry, over the 4 years that I've covered it, it never ceases to amaze me that they find a way to do whatever they need to do, and they'll reach, like you said, completely out of the blue. They'll find something and go, ooh, I can make that work. It's really an amazing aspect of this industry.
So what we've been able to do is come up with a couple of accessories that allow you to attach different types of controllers to the chest pack along with a tablet computer. And And it looks like the people that really need our solution are people that are doing videography and still photos. So it might be an inspection of a tower where capturing still photos of the infrastructure on the tower is mission critical. And you need a larger tablet, but that's not very comfortable to hold. But we've got a solution that solves that.
So what kind of weight are we talking about holding to these? And this basically is a pack that folds down from your chest.
Yeah, so the pack folds out to support a tablet computer or a drone controller plus tablet. And the weight might range, probably the heaviest would be this unit from Aireon, where the tablet plus the joystick controller might weigh 3 or 4 kilos. And then a DJI controller plus, say, a 10-inch iPad, that might only be about 2 kilos. But then if you add a hood on it, you're adding some more weight, and that just gets quite uncomfortable if you've got a strap around your neck. But that our products are comfortable and nice ergonomic solution as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, like everybody knows who does photography, you never have enough places to put pockets and stuff.
Yeah.
I see now that you also have attachments for walkie-talkies, as well as you're making sure that there's safety involved.
Yeah, so you can change we sell it in black, but you can change the color of the front of the pack to a high-vis color. And so a lot of customers, they just want black because they're not worried about that visibility, but many of them will buy a high-vis orange front cover for the pack as well.
So if our listeners want to reach out to you and want to get one of these packs, do you have a website?
Yeah, the easiest thing is just Google Tablet X Gear. So that'd be Tablet EX Gear, and they'll find it very quickly.
And just remember, folks in the state, there's probably a .ca at the end of the web address.
Well, we have a .com and a .ca website.
Good. So we want to make sure that they get a hold of you.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, I really appreciate it. It's a really interesting sideline technology that you wouldn't expect to be talking about with drones, but an important one. You know, being able to fly for any length of time is important for not only the drone, but the human flying it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So,
appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, accessories. That's always a big part of any industry, and I guess that's the case here.
Yeah, and I took a really good photograph of what it looks like, and it's ergonomics. It's making the pilot comfortable for long flights because we're going to start longer endurance. And it's, like I said, one of those things that it was used for something else and the drone industry went, yeah, we can use that and adopt it. We have a very open industry that seems to be able to be open to new peripherals and new ways of doing things that you might not have gotten in other industries.
All right. Next, you talked to Alex Reed about this Elios drone, this collision-tolerant drone by Flyability. I guess applications include confined spaces, unsafe spaces, things like that. Very interesting device.
It's a drone in a cage is really what it boils down to. It's a drone in a cage with a gyroscope, so it always stays right even if it bounces off the walls. I'm here with Alex Reed of Gyrofalcon.
Right, Gyrofalcon.
Gyrofalcon. And he has an interesting concept. What was it we were just looking at?
So we were looking at the Elios drone by Flyability. So it's a Swiss-made product made in Switzerland. And it's used for specifically going into confined and complex spaces where there is no GPS available. And you're trying to do an inspection of an area that would either require somebody to have personnel climb from the structure that may be unsafe, or set up scaffolding to try to do a simple inspection of a critical area. So instead of that, we send that type of drone in.
And this drone is encased in a geometric sort of globe.
Right, right. So it's in a gimbal design that allows the entire outer sphere and the first InterSphere to actually rotate in different directions. So we get a 360 rotation around the drone, which allows us to actually hit a wall and walk up the wall as the outer ball rotates. The inner part of the drone stays steady and allows us to actually pan tilt to every direction, inspect that area.
That's pretty cool technology. So what are the uses for it as you're setting it up? Primarily internal, correct?
Yeah, so I mean, we're using it for indoor inspections of roofs, critical structures, any kind of an area where they need to send people in. We would rather have the drone go into that space and do that work. It's also applicable for nuclear environments, so you could use the drone to go in there and provide inspections of areas where there is a limitation on how long somebody can be exposed to radiation. You would send this drone in there to do the quick inspection and get back out.
And you said there was a multiple choices of sensors on it. What are the options on that?
So that's that system is pretty hardened. So it has an onboard thermal sensor and a high-resolution camera. So you actually get an overlay of the thermal. So anything that are hotspots or personnel, heat loss, you automatically capture that, and it retains all information on board, gives a live feed, and then when the drone comes back, you can just download all the data.
So if anybody wants to know more about this, where would they go?
So you go to GyrFalcon, UAS.ca, so it's GyrFalconUAS.ca.
And how have you been enjoying the conference?
Oh, fantastic. You know, some good feedback. A lot of people around, and vendors are, very good to talk to and share information. So it's a good networking opportunity and a good chance to better understand the market.
Well, thank you for being on UAV Digest.
Sure. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
This is pretty cool. In fact, there's a video that's on their website, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes as well, that really demonstrates how this thing works. If you want to fly through or inspect some ductwork or some, very small spaces with lots of obstacles in the way, things like that, this is a perfect drone for that. It just sort of bounces through the area and keeps on going without damaging itself or the environment that it's in.
Yeah, and it was interesting, the aspect of using it for inspections of radioactive areas.
Ah, yeah.
You know, that was an interesting, something we've never talked about is, inspections of a possible failure or whatever, where you don't want to send you don't want to send an individual in, a human, but you can send in a drone.
Yep. All right, David, who's next?
We've got Jason Springett, who is the director of Global UAV Technologies. And we're going to talk about the Procyon 800 commercial drone helicopter from Nova Aerial Robotics. And it was kind of strange seeing a helicopter-shaped drone when it was surrounded by hexacopters and quadcopters. And here was a standard, good old Sikorsky tail rotor, main rotor helicopter. And we'll have a picture of it in the show notes. And we talked a little bit about the difference and why you would want to go with a helicopter, a two-bladed tail rotor aircraft over a quadcopter or a hexacopter or a multi-rotor. So let's go. Okay, I'm with Jason of Global UAV Technology, and we're going to talk about a product that's a little different than our normal drones that are on the floor. You have an old school helicopter, for all intents and purposes, not a quadcopter, not a multi-rotor, but an old school tail rotor, main rotor.
Yep, that's correct. What it is we've taken a helicopter because there is some advantages to having a helicopter. There's advantages to a multi-rotor as well. So if you're in a standing still, monitoring a tower or a building or a bridge, a multi-rotor would be more beneficial. But if you're covering ground, a helicopter actually becomes more efficient. So we can actually get longer in the air if we're moving forward than if we were standing still. So on top of that, we can go faster speeds, and we can also more stable in high winds.
What's the product?
The product, this is a Procyon 800, and it sells for about 30,000 US. It's a commercial drone, and it's been used so far mostly for doing magnetometer and LiDAR.
So you have the ability to change sensors on it, correct?
Yes, correct. This was designed with two batteries, and the batteries can be relocated and configured to whatever the customer is requiring. So if they're doing LiDAR, usually that hangs off the front. The batteries would go more to the middle. And if you're doing a magnetometer, that hangs under the middle, so the batteries would be configured more to the front to balance the weight out. So whatever the customer is looking to do, we can have it specifically designed for them.
Very cool. What's its lifting capacity?
The lifting capacity is 3.5 kilos. But generally, for the times when I say it can go for 50 minutes, that's carrying 1.5 kilos.
50 minutes, that's pretty good endurance.
It's great endurance, yes.
So what kind of range are you talking about with 50 minutes?
Well, it's I think it's around 50 kilometers is the range. Not 100% sure on that, but yeah, it's 50 minutes flight time, and it's more efficient moving forward. I know that for sure.
Beyond visual line of sight?
No, obviously that's not allowed anywhere, but hopefully one day we can do that.
What exactly are the uses for it? Are we talking, when you say magnetometer, what exactly are your target roles?
Basically, the magnetometer for the most part has been used for mining. That's our main revenue stream here at Global UAV. However, just recently we did a job in Pearl Harbor looking for unexploded ordnance, and it went very well, and we've got a lot of interest since then. So that's a whole other industry for our company.
Wow, that's pretty neat. Searching for mines that's a very important technology, especially in a lot of third world countries. That would be a really neat aspect of for the drone that we haven't ever covered.
Absolutely, and we did. They equivalented it out, would have taken a month to do by walking it. We did it in 3 days, and on top of that, the safety factor of somebody actually stepping on a potential bomb, obviously, right? So there's a lot of benefits.
And you could cover more. You can cover a wider swath than someone going with just a stick in front of you.
Yeah, way wider. And not to mention, sometimes the terrain is, it's not even possible to walk it, but we can fly it, right? So there's a lot of benefits.
So where do you guys see the next step with this being?
Which, Global UAV as a whole?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Global UAV now has four companies all in one. We have two service providers, a manufacturer, and then a regulations company that helps people to get licensed to fly in Canada. We're always looking for more companies. I see us growing. Like, just in the last quarter, we've increased revenues by 84%.
Wow.
We're now a profitable company. Three quarters in a row, we've been growing, and we're going to continue to grow. I see us growing and picking up more companies in the drone sector.
And how's it dealing with Canada regulations? It's been an eye-opening experience for me being in the States, because you guys were always so bleeding edge, and all of a sudden you suddenly hit a brick wall, it seems like.
Yeah, it's a kind of a wait and see. Nobody really knows exactly what's going to happen, so right now we just have to wait and see what the new regulations are going to be.
Any potential of moving down to the States?
We already do a lot of business in the States as it is. We do work, obviously, I mentioned the job in Hawaii. We've done a lot of work in Arizona. As well, we work in South America, too. We have a job coming up in Chile. So, yeah, we're already down in the States working.
And you have a 107 when you go down to the States?
Yeah, I believe so. And I'm a Global UAV guy. That's a Pioneer that's going down and doing the flights. But I'm positive that they're flying under all the regulations.
Well, it's really cool to see something different than a quadcopter and a Phantom, and it looks like, and evidently works. You guys are doing roles that I haven't heard before. The mining and the mine searching,
For sure.
Are really cool aspects.
Well, the thing is, the helicopter's got a bit of a bad rap because they came out way before multi-rotors ever came out, and they've got this reputation of being hard to fly, but they're nowadays, ours is computer driven, just like a multi-rotor. So, I mean, it can take off and land autonomously, and you can set a predetermined flight pattern, and it will fly on its own. So, I mean, it's just as easy to fly as a multi-rotor. We got to get that bad rap out of it.
Yeah, I used to fly RC Helos, so I know the bad rap. Yeah. So, but they were challenging, but they're not uneasy to fly after you learn. But computer help assistance is always a better thing.
For sure.
Well, thank you for being on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. I love that mind detection application. There's a great social application.
It was neat seeing a rotorcraft, and magnetometer was one of those things. It was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And it was a really interesting helo. And I liked the other thing I liked about it was the multiple batteries, Max. We sort of said it in passing, but it really was kind of interesting that two things. The one was there was a battery driving the systems and a battery driving the propulsion, which was kind of cool. The other thing was, as he said, depending upon the sensors, they move the batteries to keep the helicopter balanced. So I thought that was very interesting that there was that kind of diversity or interchangeability, I should say, would be the better word, for a helicopter, where I don't think you'd have that as much on a quadcopter.
Yeah. All right. Next up, HiEye Aerial Imaging.
Jonathan is part of HiEye, which is actually part of the Global UAV Technologies. And this is more on their data management and their software company over their hardware. So we're going to talk a little bit more about peripherals and data management.
I'm here with Jonathan from HiEye Aerial Imaging. Could you have made that harder to say? Thank you for being on the show.
Hi, how's it going?
So tell me about HiEye.
Well, we are a UAV service provider based out of Southern Ontario. We basically will do everything from 4K video inspection to photogrammetry mapping. We're sort of a jack-of-all-trades service provider. We operate several different UAVs, and we are a subsidiary of Global UAV Technologies.
So what technology, what hardware are you flying to start off with?
Right now we have a few different platforms. The main ones that we're using are a few different DJIs, but beyond that we have a Quest fixed wing, and we also have a microcopter octocopter. So depending on what we are doing, we have various tools for different jobs.
And do you have a primary focus on jobs, or like you said, you are a jack of all trades?
We do focus primarily on volumetrics. We work with the aggregate industry quite often. So you'll see us in mines, you'll see us in stockpile yards, these kind of things quite frequently.
And what would you be doing in a stockpile yard?
Well, typically we're doing volumetrics, so getting inventory for these companies. So on a quarterly basis, they will want to know what volumes they have of different, aggregate product. And so essentially, yes, we're there just keeping their inventories within line. We get our volumes within about 3% plus or minus. So it's a much more modern, effective, accurate method, and they're getting more data at a less cost, or a sort of, let's call it a comparable cost, but much more full data set.
And how long would it take to fly one of those missions?
Oh, not too long. Depends on the size of them. But let's say 30 hectares or something like that. We could be in and out of there in a couple hours. And we don't really disrupt any of the production that's going on site, as we are, flying in the air and, typically off of the actual working area. And are able to basically come in, do our services without even a hiccup, really, within normal day-to-day production.
Very cool. Well, where can they find you online?
You can go to HiEye.ca, and we're on Facebook also, and Instagram, Twitter, just anything to do with HiEye Aerial Imaging will essentially lead you to us.
Perfect. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks a lot, David.
Volumetrics, when you think about it, if you've got a a gravel pit or something, and you've got piles of this stuff around, big piles, maybe you need to know how much of it you have. And I think if you ask the average person, how do you measure that? They wouldn't have an answer, but HiEye does.
And plus or minus 3%, that's pretty accurate.
Yep.
And done quickly. I mean, I grew up near a stone quarry. Every Tuesday, the house would shake because that would be when they were doing their explosions. but there were large piles of rock. And I can understand that, you know, how do you do that easily from the ground? But from the air, you just measure the area and you measure the height and boom, you got the volume. So,
all right. Our last one, Ron Harper from UAV Tower Innovations.
Aerial inspections for towers. And Ron actually was with Brian and the Tablet X Gear, because Ron is Brian's number one tester. So Ron uses the vests to survey towers, but we should let him tell you more about that.
I'm here with Ron Harper of UAV Tower Innovations. Ron, thank you for being on UAV Digest.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about how you got started. Tell me your journey into UAVs.
Well, I've been in the tower industry, communication tower industry, for over 25 years, 27 years actually. And we've erected towers for all major players like Telus, Bell, Rogers, all of them. And 5 years ago, instead of having my crews climb up the tower and risk their life, I knew that using UAV was a quicker and safer way. Not only safer, but it gives you way better data. The customer really appreciates that, because now you're getting much better quality information than even from climbing the tower.
So tell me about your journey as a Canadian into a business of UAVs. We're in a new industry with regulations changing on a regular. So what have been your challenges? What have been some successes?
Actually, I haven't had a whole lot of challenges, because I work very closely with Transport Canada and Nav Canada. So 5 years ago, there wasn't a whole lot of SFOCs out there, and it was a new process for myself and for Transport Canada. So we work together very closely, and now we have a very good relationship. So getting an SFOC made is quite quick, and now we have I'm one of the very few that's a compliant operator, which is very important because of the new regulations that are coming out. You never know if everybody's going to have to be compliant that wants to be commercial. So I started off on a per-job basis, getting a per-job SFOC until you got qualified enough. And Transport Canada, they figure that you're doing everything safely and by the law. So then you can transition over to a standing SFOC, which is good for a year, which gives you more possibilities. And then after that, I just got my compliant about 6 months ago.
Very cool.
Which is good for all of Canada.
So tell me about what you're flying, what an inspection would be like. Work through the process.
Yeah, basically you have to have the right tool for the right job. So I've went through quite the learning process to figure out which drone is best. And for my Canadian market, I found the Arion Skyranger. They're a company based out of Waterloo, and they sell drones worldwide.
Yep.
They really go for like military, law enforcement, and commercial use. So basically they can fly in 65 kilometer hour winds, gusts up to 90. So really wind's not a factor, and that's the main major player. If you can't do a job, it's because of the wind. But with this UAV, I can fly in pretty much any weather condition.
You have some examples of what you wear to control your controllers, where you've got bright orange, you've got vests, and they actually look very comfortable.
Yes, I use a chest pack to hold my controllers for when I'm flying the UAV. And yes, they are high visibility, so you can see me at all times. But with the chest pack alone, I don't have to carry that controller around all day long. And you get physically tired carrying that. So now with the chest pack, I can concentrate fully on flying the drone, not getting tired at all.
Are you flying one man or two man operations? Are you flying a person? Are you doing the sensor operating as well as the flying, or do you have two people?
It depends on the operation. Sometimes with the Arion Skyranger, I'm the sole pilot and operator of the payload. Now, in other applications, like doing windmill towers, that's a dual operation. I fly the drone, and I have another operator that operates the payload.
What are the payloads you're operating?
The X5S on the Inspire 2.
And what are you looking for when you're doing the inspection?
You're looking for cracks, any dings in equipment, any lines that are loose, doors that are open, a lot of rust, fraying on lines, all kinds of things. You can go on and on.
And a normal inspection with an individual climbing the tower, you've eliminated what? Hours worth of work?
You have eliminated literally hours worth of work, and I can fly a site in 25 minutes, and now you don't have the risk of a man being up the tower in case you don't have to worry about him falling or injuring himself, and I can also give the client way better data because I'm taking a picture out in front of the object, not from in behind it with the climber.
Very cool. Well, I appreciate being on the show, and thank you for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
Well, David, thanks for capturing those interviews at the big drone show. And of course, just to recap, you can hear the other interviews that David recorded at the event with the Sky Guys, Defiant Labs, and the Waterloo Wellington Flight Center. Those are all in episode 212. And then you can listen to the interview with DJI in episode 213. So again, David, thanks for capturing those.
Well, it was fun. I learned a lot. It really is an amazing industry that we've sort of, Max, you and I have sort of stumbled into. And really great people, really excited about their products and the industry and the potential. And I hope to go back again next year. I hope they'll invite us back. And hopefully you and I should be able to explore some more of these conventions. And of course, always, we are media partners with a lot of the conventions. So please always go to the UAVdigest.com and see if there's one near you. And if there is one near you, I suggest going because you'll come out really positive about the industry and you'll want to fly and you want to be more active in it. So it's always good to see being with people around who have the same passions you do.
All right, then. Well, we want to thank you for listening to the UAV Digest. This has been episode 215. You can find us at the UAVdigest.com. Show notes are at the UAVdigest.com/215. And you'll find some of the photos and links to the companies that David talked to and all of those kinds of things there. And so please check those out.
And of course, you can find us on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, at UAV Digest. You can find us on Stitcher, Google Play, and of course, iTunes. And the best way you can help us with that is leave some feedback so other people can find us. You can support us by being a patron of the show or buying some swag at our Cafe Press store. Links to those on the show notes. So with that, and last but not least, but most importantly, Max desperately wants you to be part of our Slack listener team. And you can do that by going to feedback@theuavdigest.com and send us our email address, and we'll send you a link, and that will make Max happy.
It'll make you happy. I don't mean you, David. I mean you listening, too. Yeah, our Slack team is really an exciting little community of people who are passionate about this stuff. It's a little bit curated in that regard.
Ooh, big word, curation. Funny, I have a degree in that. So with that, I'm going to say, this is David in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Thanks for listening.